going to boil down this game in one sentence for me. This game doesn't count, but it matters.
What the hell are you talking about, Sage?
Lee, I can't believe people are all shook up about Kyle Trask. I think we can agree on a couple of points. One, tater tots.
Buccaneers fans, 2 weeks from opening day, 2 weeks from opening day, opening night of the NFL season. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, starring the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton. All the fun is courtesy of Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Get there. This is a huge weekend, Ira, to shop for a vehicle. It's the end of the month. Some great offers at BillCurryFord.com. And GM Sean Sullivan is ready to help you immediately. If you have any questions about buying a vehicle, any questions about repairing a vehicle, don't hesitate. Get to BillCurryFord.com. Shoot him an email immediately. Even if you're listening to this at 11:30 at night, it's all good. Sean Sullivan is ready to give personal service to every Bucks fan. He does it all the time. And we love BillCurryFord.com. Sage, you got to remember that nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. And have you vacuumed that cherry red Ford Escape you drive? Have you cleaned that thing?
Every 2 weeks, Bits. Every 2 weeks, and I go to the car wash, and it's got the vacuum. I'm actually paying to vacuum this car because I want to keep it nice and pristine and crisp. And I get a lot of comments driving around. And if you see me, say hello.
What's the over-under on French fries that you find when you're vacuuming the vehicle? Well, how many? What are we looking at? 6.5? What are we looking at?
I believe it was 5 fries and 4 tater tots. 5 and 4.
Beautiful. Well, Bill Curry Ford, we're serious. We love them. There's just no reason not to give them a shot and make them your first stop, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, a lot of good stuff flowing this week. SiriusXM NFL Radio, they finally had their training camp tour stop with the Bucks. It had been delayed. We talked about that, but they got it done. Jason Light, Bruce Arians, everybody's chatting it up. And Sage, I got to ask you this, because it was a little bit revealing. It was went back to the Brady that is sort of a different type of animal that we've seen this year. And of course, we never know if he's telling the truth. But Brady opened up, Ira, and he talked about how his rehab just wasn't really going so great. Like, he wanted his body to do some things, and his body was like, no, we're chilling today. We're not responding. And he talked about how pushing through training camp this year was more challenging, and that 6 months after his surgery, which was August 24th, was the 6 month mark, that he's finally feeling like he's got his football legs, where they're bouncy was the term he used, and that he's got his arm strength is back where it needs to be. It was very revealing for Brady, a guy who doesn't even like to hint at the fact that injuries are an issue. The guy hid the thing all last year. What do you make of this? Any insight? What do you think?
You know, I think this whole thing is fascinating. There is a mysterious aura, A-U-R-A, Mr. DeCampo, about anything dealing with Brady's physical condition. I mean, you never know when he's telling you the truth. We didn't know about the knee. We didn't know there was a problem last year. It's hard to believe there was the way he finished with the 8-game winning streak. Lee, the whole thing with the personal trainer and his diet is so unique. But Lee, I'll say it before you do. Who are we to argue with anything that Brady's doing, right? He's in uncharted territory. Forget about the George Blander, comparisons. That's all nonsense. Blander was a kicker for his last 8 years. He wasn't taking a beating behind the line of scrimmage. So nobody's ever done this, Lee. But when it comes to Brady and how he's feeling and his physicality, you don't know what the hell to believe. The only thing I believe, Lee, is he's going to have another great season.
Yeah, I don't know what to believe either, especially when Brady was so candid on HBO when he said 90% of what he says to reporters is nonsense. So I don't know what to believe from the guy. Here's what I can believe. The guy looks sensational in training camp. He doesn't look anything like a 44-year-old. Doesn't look like a 34-year-old. The only way you would know it is you see a little bit of gray around his sideburns. That's the only tip-off. And the video the Bucks produced, they had Arians mic'd up at practice. When Arians was walking toward the referees, and I don't know if this actually happened in chronological order. They showed a pass that Brady made to Gronk over the middle, and then they show Arians talking to referees saying, it's amazing what that guy still has left in that arm. You know, who knows when Arians said that. And while we're talking about that video, I thought it was all just so interesting. You know, I've been in practice every day. I've heard Arians blow up once in a while. And that video made Arians look like a retired grandfather going to his neighborhood coffee shop, you know, patting people on the back. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Whatever. And it's I'm not saying it's inaccurate, but they painted him as this, you know, humble guy, great guy. Obviously, they didn't put anything in there about, you know, for example, him screaming at Jalen Darden, what the F did I just tell you? And you can hear it all the way to Judge and I. The next day, after that video's released, lights on NFL radio saying, boy, Aaron sure has a lot of bark and bite in him. Getting back to Brady, but I'm like Steve. It caught my attention when he was saying he was struggling a little bit with his rehab and getting back to where he wants to be. But as soon as he says that, as soon as it grabs my attention, I have to wonder, like Steve always says, everything this guy does is calculated.
Steve, sometimes you wonder what he knows he's going to be doing in an interview that day. You wonder if he sits down and gives it about 10, 15 minutes of thought, like, what angle am I going to spin today to these guys when he's doing a national interview, whether it's Peter King or Pat Coleman or Jim Gray? He is very calculating. The only thing we know is we've had him a year and a half. Steve, it's been about a year and a half here in Tampa. And I think we know less about the guy than we did a year and a half ago. He is so unique, Steve. He is so unique. We're never going to see his like again. This league's never going to see anybody like him.
Yeah, it is an endless mystery with Brady. And, you know, just like you said, Ira, adds that mystique of what the heck is really going on with him. Now, we got a game on Saturday night, Ira, and the starters are going to play a half. We've already been there. Arians believes game speed is something that cannot be duplicated anywhere. He's all in on playing these guys. He believes, hey, if you get a fluke injury, you get a fluke injury. They're going to happen. You can't sort of live and die off those things, which I don't agree. I think you have to do some risk management, which he does all the time anyway with guys in practice. And, you know, Chris Godwin, I love the example of Godwin himself, Ira, was one of the best special teams players the Bucs had in a long time back in 2017. The guy could tackle and he could hit and he played the angles well. And of course, they're never going to put him on special teams, but we were running Joe Tryon out on special teams. And Arians is glowing about that. But that aside, Ira, what do you need to see in this game? Do you want to see anything? Do you care about anything? What's most important besides the one-liner of injuries? Do you feel you have to see anything?
I'm going to boil down this game in one sentence for me. This game doesn't count, but it matters. I think it does. And I think Arians thinks it does from what he's telling us. And by that, I mean, if they're sloppy in the first half, if they're sloppy, especially he's looking at the offense, he's going to keep the starters in. He's already said it, and I think he's going to follow through with it. I don't know if that's a good thing for Buck Nation. They might start thinking, well, how many snaps you want to give Brady and expose him to some crazy, you know, first-year free agent from the Texans who wants to make a name for himself? We've seen that before in preseason games. We've seen it. And I certainly would not put Brady behind a second-string offensive line. I don't think that's going to happen. But why does it matter? Lee, why does it matter? Well, I was talking about it with Derek Brooks the other day on the Identity Tampa 2. And he said that if it's sloppy, you know, and the Bucs get off to a slow start during the regular season, you know, the two might be connected. It might be. Now, look, the 0-3 Bucs started in Philly, and they won 17-0. They looked even better than the 0-2 team. So, you know, you can't say that they're not going to start with a bang on opening night. And by the way, Dallas's defense, it stinks. So Brady should have a big day. But let's be honest, guys. The Bucks haven't shown anything in preseason. They just haven't shown anything. So I haven't seen the first string offense very much. At least Saturday night, we're going to see it. Are we going to remember this game in mid-October? No, we're probably not. But I think it's important to build a little bit of momentum. Yes, a little bit of confidence. Not so much for Brady, but for some of the other guys. I want to see something from the Bucks, and I think this game, in a way, kicks off their 2021 season.
I won't remember the game in mid-September, much less mid-October.
Right.
If it was up to me, I wouldn't remember 10 minutes after the game's over with. But I have a job to do. I've seen way too many times when teams struggle early on, whether it's preseason, in baseball, whether it's spring training, it's a pattern. And that's not all the time, but I've seen it a lot. If something's happening in preseason or spring training or preseason practice of some sort, and it's a pattern, that continues. These guys aren't robots. They can't flip switches. But unfortunately, too many players and coaches think they can flip switches. Generally, they can't. So if they're playing sloppy in this game, it seems as if Arians has been hounding his team more this year than he did last year. Maybe last
year. No question.
And I don't know if it's because, he wants these guys on edge because they're repeating. They want to repeat as champions, or if Arians was giving these guys a lot of leeway, knowing that there were no preseason games, no OTAs, no offseason whatsoever, and what they were asking them to do was unprecedented with a new quarterback, et cetera. So maybe he was giving them their space. I don't know. But maybe there's a reason Arians is harping on these guys so much this year, and it has nothing to do with repeating. It's maybe because they're not practicing up to the standards that they have set for themselves. I don't know that. It's all speculation. Because Arians isn't going to come out and say it, but I just wonder if the sloppiness is a pattern and that this pattern is going to continue into September, October, and beyond.
I think Arians is worried, Steve. I think he's worried. He's not worried about the talent. Not the talent base on this roster. No, he's not. Not worried about the front office. We're not giving them the resources when guys get cut from other teams and picking them up. Trump has already proven itself in the last couple of off seasons. Steve, he's worried about the mental approach of these players, taking it easy, feeling good about themselves. It's driving Arians crazy, Steve. And another lousy performance, he's going to be a basket case going in the 10 days leading up to the Dallas game.
Coaches, that's what they do. They get nervous, they stress out, and the mere fact that he's playing the starters, it matters to him. If it didn't matter to him, he wouldn't play him. And I get what he's talking about with game speed, but ultimately they want to see the execution. And I think it's even more telling, Ira, when you're playing against a crappy team. Everybody knows the Texans are not good. The Texans are pegged, they look like a 5-win team at best. And I don't think they're going to shock the world with an 8-win season even. I don't even think they're capable of that. So It's a real contrast here. It's not like you're going up against, this isn't the Browns, where we've got a lot of talent and maybe things in preseason can look different. So they got to play well here. Hopefully they stay healthy. But I don't put it past Lovie Smith, Ira. Even though he's a man of faith, I don't put it past him to want to hurt somebody on the Bucks. I think he's still that bitter at the Glazers. I think none of that would surprise me from Lovie if he breaks away from the traditional preseason vanilla defense and actually comes after somebody. I don't know, Ira. I don't know. And plus, I really miss Lovie Smith at his news conference saying, Ira?
Steve, only you would think about this angle. I mean, that is an incredible way for you to look at this game with Lovie Smith trying to get retribution. Wouldn't he just be happy beating the Bucks in a preseason game, Steve? No. For you, you got to take it a step further. Let's get Tristan Wirfs in a mess over here and chop down his knees over here. That's why you are who you are, but you're always looking at that angle. Lovie Smith has the Texans playing good defense. Now look, it's 2 preseason games later, 2-0. I think Steve's being kind. If they win 5 games, the guy might win Coach of the Year. They stink. They haven't even used Deshaun Watson yet. Wait, he hasn't even played. So they're 2-0. That tells you all you need to know about preseason football. But I'm not going there. I'm not going there with Lovie Smith. Ultimately, I think the guy is a professional. I think he's ruled by the protocols of football, which means you don't try to get people hurt, especially in a preseason game. I'm not willing to go where Elizabeth is, but Steve, it's another indication of your fertile imagination. Lee, what do you say about this Lovie Smith angle?
I don't think Lovie Smith is Buddy Ryan, but what Steve says, I am confident Lovie really wants to show up the Glazers.
He is bitter. I'm not going to argue that point. He's bitter.
I don't know if he wants to go out and hurt guys, but he would love to do something to them where they're still thinking about it in October. I believe that. I don't think Lovie's that much of a scoundrel, for lack of a better term, that he wants to hurt a player. I don't think he's Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan was a dirtbag that way. He wanted to hurt people.
Steve, are we expecting a pregame embrace between Lovie Smith and Jason White, Mr. Isbitz?
I think that is a good bet against that. I don't think that's happening, Ira, but I do have to say this to you, Ira, because you upset and riled up and fired up and got a lot of fans talking when you declared in the last podcast that Kyle Trask would not be the future quarterback of this team, the future starter, and you know, and also the metaphoric future of this team. Now, that really shook a lot of people, Ira, and we understand where we are in his development, but the sage has spoken, if you will, and I got a reaction here for you that I think is interesting, and I want to get your feedback. But first, Ira, I was just looking at my email, and I saw that there's a brand new storm in the Gulf, and it's time to get ready again. And part of that preparation, if you live in the Tampa Bay area, is having Florida's EliteRestoration.com in your phone, ready to access. As soon as you have a problem in your house, you call them immediately. And it doesn't have to be a storm. It can be a fire. It can be mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. They're not just a mold guy or somebody who does mold. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your first call because they're going to give you an absolutely free assessment of any problem at your house. And that's the key, free assessment. You can trust them. And they have experience in the business. They're a small company, but not too small to service the whole Bay Area. Sage, as you like to say, so many people that you know have used them. We've heard great feedback from them. We even heard Sean Sullivan of Bill Curry Ford on this podcast say that he's had heard great things about that company, et cetera, et cetera. And he didn't even have to do that. We had no idea Sean knew anything about mold, but he knows everything. The all-knowing Sean Sullivan at Bill Curry Ford. But in all seriousness, Ira, storm season, mold season, Florida's Elite Restoration.
4 to 6 weeks late before things simmer down in the Atlantic Basin. And this is the time of year when these storms start flying off the west coast of Africa. I mean, it's happening every other day, and they're 2 weeks out, and you don't know which way they're going to go, and hopefully none of them hit Florida. Well, Lee, we know past history, and water damage, you can mess around with a lot of things. You can't fool around with water damage and mold. It can really cause you major headaches. Florida's Elite Restoration. If you think you have a problem, that's your first call. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Hey, Lee, when I was listening just there to Ira talking about the weather in the Atlantic Basin, I instantly thought about a 90-second daily weather report from Ira Kaufman, a podcast. Who wouldn't listen to that? You know, hey, it's going to rain in Holiday by 3 o'clock. You can guarantee it. I'm not going to be able to play tennis today. The whole thing would be hilarious, Ira.
You know, I was thinking about that, too. You know, I think I could tape something. Lee, I could tape it on June 1st, and I can run it every day until October 12th, and it would be the same forecast. You know, that's
Bartow. If you're in Bartow, get out of the yard. There's lightning coming.
Watch out, people.
All right, Sage, Kyle Trask, Bucko Bruce Arians himself, was asked about Trask's development, but in a more detailed way on Sirius the other day from Pat Kerwin and Jim Miller, who former quarterback, and Arians. And I think what makes the show really good, Arians and these coaches, they know that they can't BS Kerwin and Miller on certain types of things because they have to speak at a higher level because these guys were coaches and Miller was a player and Kerwin was an executive. They just can't sort of give a super vanilla answer. It's not what the show's about. And they all listen to it at times. So Arian says this, he said of Trask, he says he's really, really good about knowing where the ball goes post snap and he can see it. He can read it. I had said he's close to Andrew Luck as far as his processing information as a rookie entering a camp. He's not Andrew Luck, but I really like where his progressions are and his arm's getting stronger. Clyde's doing a great job with his mechanics, and I think he's got a bright future. Is that baloney from the quarterback whisperer, Ira? Have you changed your tune? What do you think?
Well, I think we should listen because next week he'll be comparing Trask's pocket presence with Tom Brady. Lee, give it another week. Come on, this is getting comical over here at the Kemper. I think we can agree on a couple of points. One, if Kyle Trask is going to be the starting quarterback for the Bucs, Bruce Arians isn't going to be the coach at that point. He's not going to be the coach. He's going to go. He's going to go out with Brady, and I don't blame him. And he could go out with two or three Vince Lombardi trophies in his pocket. Not too bad. And an inside track to Boot at that point, if that happens. Lee, I can't believe people are all shook up about Kyle Trask. I know he was a second-round pick, but look, he was not highly touted coming out of Gainesville, Florida. The whole program does not have a very rich history, Lee, of developing quarterbacks that are successful in the NFL. And that, I'm including Steve Spurrier. The guy won the freaking Heisman Trophy, you know, and never did anything in the NFL. Now, that doesn't mean Trask can't make it just because Spurrier wasn't any good in the late 60s. I understand that. But, Lee, I think the Glazers come in there at a point, especially with who's going to be the quarterback in his franchise, and they would have to be convinced that Trask is the guy. And I think, Lee, we're talking about the next coach of the Buccaneers at that point. We're not talking about Arians. And, you know, that guy, he doesn't have any connection to Kyle Trask. I don't think that guy's going to be Byron Leftwich, and neither do you. So, you know, I didn't think I shook up the world by saying the successor to Tom Brady is not on the Bucs roster. I'm sticking with it.
Well, you got to remember where we're living at. There's so many people that are Gators fans that are listening. And so that's why it shook people up. I'll just remind people of this. Now, I like to bring this up. I will never forget. I will never forget the most bold statement you ever made, Ira. It was the very afternoon the Bucs signed DeSean Jackson. Everybody was through the roof. DeSean Jackson coming to Tampa Bay. Everybody was going bananas in a good way. This is great. This is awesome. This is what the Bucs need. Here come the points. Here come the touchdowns. And you said on your very own podcast, it wasn't 2 hours after DeSean Jackson's signature was on his new contract with the Bucs. You said he will not finish his contract with the Bucs. What happened? He did not finish his contract with the Bucs. So heed the sage's words, people.
And Steve, that was followed by a terse text from one Jason Light saying, "What the hell are you talking about, Sage? You don't know anything about the show, Jackson." Yes, I do, Steve. Yes, I do.
Lee, you confused me there for a minute. I thought the most bold statement Ira made, maybe this was the second most bold statement, but I thought it was when the pandemic struck, the world was locked down. Nobody knew whether they were going to live or die or what was going to happen with our society as we know it. The Bucs signed Tom Brady, and Ira calls wanting a raise. I need a raise.
Steve, I'm sticking with my Kyle Trask thing, Steve. I can't believe so. I can't believe so many people are heading off the ledge on this one. You know what I see for Kyle Trask, Steve? And I don't make another statement, Lee. I see Mike Glennon.
Oh!
I won't even go there.
Now, wait a minute. That means he's going to have a 10-year career in the pros and make a lot of money. Well, what's wrong with that, Steve?
Mike Glennon is the ultimate check-down Charlie. Trask's strength appears to be the long ball. And Mike Glennon was like, "Oh my God, there's a guy 2 foot from the markers. I can't throw to him. He's not back enough." That guy was the ultimate check. They would drive me wild when I'd watch the guy quarterback with the Bucs. He would never throw the freaking ball past the first down marker. It was like you're guaranteed to get off the field on third down. Horrible.
You know, I don't think that comparison to Glenn is so terrible. Well, Lee, the guy's going to last 10 years in the league.
All right,
if you're looking at banking easy money for holding a clipboard, that's not awful. No. Now, I'm just talking about results driven. I don't think going, if you're talking about just making money, yeah, and maybe a better comparison would be Chase Daniel. But I'm talking about as just football ability. Like I said, Glenn's a check down artist and I think Trask is just the opposite.
Sage, I want to just, you brought it up before and I forgot to mention it. I'll just point people to your last, actually it was the first one of this week, your Tampa 2 with Derek Brooks. Brooks was very, very focused on preseason performance. I was surprised that he put so much stock in it. He explained why.
Well, just to that point itself, Steve, I think Brooks is disappointed. As are Buck fans. You know, Brooks likes to set a tone. How are you going to play? Are you mentally sharp? Are you crisp? Are you not? Are you making a lot of mental errors? It's not so much the drop passes, Steve. It's not so much the drop passes. And I think you're speaking for Arians in that regard, too. Do you know where the hell you're going? Are you off rhythm? Are you committing too many penalties? That's driving people crazy. Brooks is a little disappointed. Now, he picked the Titans to beat the Bucks because he said, and I think this is important, Steve. He said it a week ago. He said, I think the Titans' backups are better than the Bucks backups. He said that. That surprised me a little bit that he would say that. Of course, I picked the Bucks in week two and looked like a clown because they were thoroughly dismantled. And, Steve, at this point, the Buck backups don't look very good. So I'm looking for the Bucks starters to look sharp. And, oh yeah, one more point on Kyle Trask, Steve. You know, it's interesting. Things get lost when you win a Super Bowl and you got Brady. And it's easy to forget about things. But and I know how crazy it is, Lee. They've been playing since 1976. It is still true that the Bucks have not drafted and developed a quarterback for their own franchise and give them a second contract. It's still true, Lee. You know, we get lost with the success with Brady, and it's breathtaking, and we all understand that. But it's 44, 45 years of football, Lee. This franchise has never done it. If Kyle Trask could do it, God bless him. Mm-hmm.
Ira, one remotely interesting thing that Jason Light said on SiriusXM NFL Radio, he mentioned that the Bucks could not sign the undrafted free agents that they wanted this year because nobody wanted to come to Tampa because how are you going to make the team? And Light said, yeah, we like some of the guys we got, sure, but he made it very clear we didn't get who we wanted in that area where, you know, you sign 14 guys or so undrafted free agents. They couldn't get them. So, you know, I think that's some of what you're seeing in the fourth quarter of these games. And if you combine that with maybe some of the other depth isn't as good as we thought, maybe this team only is 37 deep and that's it.
Interesting point, Steve. If there's a downside to winning the Super Bowl, Lee, it's that you get the 32nd draft pick and then you get screwed a little bit in terms of attracting undrafted free agents that think there's going to be too much competition in your training camp. I can live with that, Lee. I believe you can as part of the bargain. But it's a point worth making. Spots, you know, 40 to 53 on this roster might not be as strong as they need to be. Is that going to show up in 2021? Probably not, Lee. Probably not.
About this entire subject. Pat Kerwin was talking about this. And, you know, by the way, I have to apologize. I was under the impression, the guy I talked to with the Bucks, who knows about the broadcasting stuff, he seemingly was convinced that since those guys, you know, got stuck in Baltimore a couple weeks ago and couldn't come down here, that they weren't going to do a training camp tour show. And so I went on your very podcast, Ira, and I slapped around to people at NFL Radio. I'm good friends with a lot of people there. They've always been good to us. I always thought we were good to them. But I thought it had to be said that it was shameful that they weren't going to cover the Super Bowl champions. But it turned out that they did, only remotely, but they did. So my apologies. We thought something was going to happen and didn't. And we're glad you guys at NFL Radio. I say to everybody at NFL Radio, thank you for covering the Bucs, the Super Bowl champions, even though you were throwing a curveball with flights being canceled. I'm glad they did that.
They did the right thing, Lee. They absolutely did.
They did the right thing. I'm glad they did that. And I didn't mean to ruffle any feathers. Nothing was updated on their Twitter, and nothing was updated on their website that was going to happen, but they did it, and I appreciate their effort. Pat Carmen was talking about this on their training camp show with the Bucs. Now, for all the guys that are going to be cut in about 10 days, all the guys that are going to be cut and going to be looking for work, every guy that clears waivers, Jason Light's got the pick of the litter. He said, who wouldn't want to play for the Bucs? You just got cut? You cleared waivers? Why wouldn't you want to play for the Bucs? And so what we're talking about with lack of depth, if you believe what Kerwin's saying, that should be taken care of with the guys that are going to be looking for work in about a week or so.
If that's true, that leaves the Bucs in a very secure position. Steven, the Bucs have been very aggressive with Light about picking up guys just before the season starts, and sometimes they make a contribution that particular season. I'm hoping that's the case this year. Steve, I think they can use some help in some spots.
I think it's a mixed bag, Lee, because there are plenty of free agents who'd be like, oh my gosh, the Bucs, I'll sign there. There are plenty of guys who would want to be on the Bucs, but there's also plenty of young players who'd be like, I'm a running back. I'm good on special teams, but I'd like to go somewhere where I have a chance to get a handoff, or I'm a receiver. What receiver is going to want to come to the Bucs off waivers? So I think it goes both ways.
That's true. However, you know, we're not concerned with wide receiver depth. You know, they might be concerned about inside linebacker. They might be concerned about, you know, what a cornerback, although I don't think that's that grave of an issue. But I see what you're saying. But if you're a cornerback and Light calls you up like, you know, we're really not deep there, you might be able to get some snaps. If a guy gets hurt, you're going to get a lot of snaps. At worst, you're going to get a lot of exposure with a winning team. And who knows, you might get a Super Bowl check.
You got to find the right guy. The reason I said running back, if they call some running back who they know is good on special teams, and like, hey, we're going to make you a four-down special team guy, and he's thinking, well, you know, if I could go to the Giants, maybe I could get a few carries too, you know. I don't know.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, like, for example, wide receiver. There's no way in heck I'm coming to the Bucs if I'm wide receiver.
I have a little bit of an announcement, Mr. Isbitz. I have an announcement.
What's her name?
Steve, I am proud to tell Buck Nation that, yes, I will be returning to Mad Dog Radio. Chris Russo, I've gotten the word from the producer. I will be making my 2021 debut September 8th, the afternoon before the Buck opener. It'll be 4 o'clock. After that, I'll be on 5 o'clock on Wednesdays. But on the 8th, I'll be on at 4 o'clock. And I'm looking forward. And Lee, you're more than a casual listener to the Doggy. And you know what? I'm kind of lucky, Lee. You know, I got to be honest. I mean, I'm fortunate that I have the Bucs to talk about. I mean, imagine if I didn't. Imagine if this is 2018 draft team, you know, 5-11, and Russo's got to ask me about the Bucs because I'm here in Tampa. Now I'm in the nerve center, guys. So God bless the Bucs for being relevant, and relevant is putting it lightly, Lee. But I'm back for another year with the Dodgers.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that will love hearing this news. You'll be surprised. The times I bounce around the country, if someone, you know, strikes up a conversation with me in a bar or whatever, or a restaurant, or you name it, and somehow or another your name comes up, they're like, yeah, I hear him on Russo's show. And there's guys that you don't know, Ira, that are in the media, that NFL media too, that I am pretty confident you've never met. They'll Twitter Steve or I, and like, man, Ira's just so great on Russo, or we will get an email from him, like, tell Ira I love him. And so Ira, I don't think you understand, and apparently Russo doesn't understand, what national following you have.
I appreciate that, Lee. You know, Steve, I say things, you know, like he's talking to me about the Jets or something, and I say that, you know, Woody Johnson's a clown. Steve, you listen to a lot of radio. I don't think you hear stuff like that every day on national radio. And I'm not afraid to speak my mind, And I think our listeners understand that.
Well, let me just clarify a little bit for everybody. It's Sirius XM, Mad Dog Radio, Channel 82, and Ira's on the premiere show with Chris Mad Dog Russo. It's a weekly spot. And what makes it unique, Ira, is that most of the time, you're not talking about the Buccaneers. You get Ira's take on other teams, on baseball, on who knows what. And, you know, it's a national show, and you're an iconic guest. That's why you're on half an hour in prime time like that. And Russo can get any guest he wants for the most part, but the Sage is a regular. You guys go way back. But it is kind of interesting, Ira, that all of a sudden you went from Ira and Tampa, as Russo would say, Tampa. You went from Ira and Tampa to now you're in the epicenter of professional sports. The Rays have the best record in the American League by a mile. Freaking Yankees have won 11 in a row, and they're still five back of the Rays. And obviously the Lightning with the back-to-back titles. You're basically Russo's man in the fire, and it makes it even more fun.
The day that he asked me about USF football, I think I might drop the phone. I don't expect that, Lee, and he's not going to ask me too many questions about the Lightning. But Lee, you know what he asked me? You know, he asked me this three times a year. What's going on with the Rays, stadium situation?
Oh, monthly he asked that, yeah.
Yeah, he's fascinated by it, and of course, I always tell him, you know, when it's not the Yankees or the Red Sox, they're getting 6,000, and he can't believe it, but that is the case. Thank God I got the Bucks to talk about. Lee, I appreciate your remarks, and the producer yesterday that texted me that said, are you ready to come on September 8th at 4 o'clock? He said, you can't believe how many people during the off season, so to speak, you know, February to through August, bring up your name. Where is he? Why isn't he on for the full year? My bank account would be a little better, Lee, if I was on for the full year, but I'm glad to do the show. I had a lot of fun doing it.
You know, you guys brought this up, and I'm going to quickly mention it because I think Rays fans would like it. You brought up, you know, we always talk about the attendance and the stadium, et cetera. Well, I was reading a story yesterday. I don't know if you're aware of this. I think Steve might be. I don't know if you're aware of this. The Gary Templeton game in St. Louis, are you aware of that?
No.
Whitey Herzog literally grabbed Gary Templeton, threw him in the dugout, and they nearly had a fist fight. People jumped in between, and that was the beginning of the end with Templeton in St. Louis. It happened in 1981. In that article, you know, St. Louis is supposed to be this great baseball town, blah, 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 blah. In that article, the attendance for that game, what do you think the attendance was? It was an afternoon game. Wednesday afternoon game in St. Louis. What do you think the attendance was?
I'll say 16 grand.
7,700.
Wow. Wow.
That's a Rays-like attendance. So when people, and I remember Dumick used to talk about this with the Red Sox, that they weren't always selling out.
Ira, I'll say this in defense, and we'll move back to the Bucks. Come on, Ira, the Rays averaged 18,000 on their weekend series against the White Sox this past weekend. That's in a dome, in a pandemic. Come on, Ira, 6,000 a game. Get out of here.
Steve, it was 6,000 a week or two ago. I forgot. Whether it was Baltimore, some draft team. I mean, draft. My point to that is, Steve, it shouldn't matter. Lee, at this point, it shouldn't matter who the opponent is. You come out to see the Rays. They got the best record in the American League. Come out to see the Rays. And, Steve, is there any reason we should not expect a sold-out crowd to welcome America's team to Ray J on September 9th?
Well, Ira, it's already a sellout, and the StubHub pricing for the secondary market for the game is already at $400 for the super cheap seats. So, I mean, yeah, it's already a tremendous demand, and I'm sure the no-show rate for that game is going to be very, very, very slim, assuming the weather's good. Got to bring this up, Ira, because it's something that a lot of Bucks fans have been paying attention to. I know I was paying attention on Monday night, watching the preseason game, but forget about my opinion. More important, as Lee wrote up at Joe Bucks Fan, Bill Parcells was asked in an interview for Outkick. He was asked about Jameis Winston, and Parcells, being Parcells, 80 something years old now, your old buddy, a guy who is the great Parcells elevator story and Ira and other stuff, but we'll save those for another day. Bill Parcells himself says that, hey, it was on the Bucks for what Jameis delivered. He says, quote, listen to me, that was on coaching, talking about Jameis's turnovers. If I was his coach, when he got to 15 interceptions, he needed to either have his throat cut or I would have cut mine. We're not getting to 30, trust me. So much of that is if you're playing from behind all the time and you're trying to catch up, situations evolve that are very difficult for some players. So that was pretty powerful stuff from Parcells. Now, it's a little weird in a lot of ways, Ira, because you may remember the 1986 Giants. Phil Sims threw 22 interceptions as the quarterback of that team, and he didn't throw 30 touchdowns. He threw 21. So he threw more picks than touchdowns, and he was a guy who threw a lot of picks, yet he was Parcells' best and most favorite quarterback. So I thought that was a little bit odd from Parcells, but what a take.
Steve, I wonder what's in the water over there in Jupiter, Florida. I believe that's where Parcells is living. He's good buddies with Ron Wolf, the Hall of Fame general manager that built the Packers and was with Tampa originally. What the hell is Parcells smoking over there? Steve, I think my takeaway is he's basically saying Arians should have benched Winston, you know, midway through the 2019 season. We're not going to let him get past 15 interceptions. I don't know what the hell he's talking about, because until the last two games, you know, Winston was on track to come back and he was having a pretty decent season. Billy self-destructed. They could have had a six-game winning streak if they won those last two games. Very winnable games at home against lousy opponents. I'm not sure what the hell Parcells was talking about. Winston did it through three different head coaches. I mean, what do you want from these people? Let's see what happens. He had a good game for the Saints the other night. He's going to win the starting job, unless Sean Payton's lost his mind. I think you definitely go with Winston, because then you can use Bill as a change of pace guy rather than vice versa. You know, sometimes these coaches, you know, 10 years after their prime, they say some weird stuff. And I think Parcells looks a little foolish.
Part of what Parcells said is what I was saying about Jameis for years. I mean, the guy, you know, he walks out of the locker room 10 minutes before kickoff. He knows he's got to put up 35 points or his team doesn't have a prayer. And, oh, by the way, he had no running game. You have no defense. You have no running game. Your quarterback's doomed. It's as simple as that. I hate to quote Lovey, but it's that simple. It really is. And that was Winston. That was Winston. You had a gunslinger of a quarterback that knew he had to put up 35 points. He couldn't game manage. You know, first off, it's not in his blood. Second off, that, you know, he had all this pressure on his back. It was like he had to carry the team. And what do you expect? And so that's why I've been saying, I was saying about Jameis all along, and Parcells crystallized it for me. Now, I'm not blaming Arians. I'm not blaming Cutter. If anything, I'm blaming he didn't have, you know, you take a gunslinger and you expect him to carry you, forget about it. I mean, Brett Favre was a gunslinger. He had a hell of a defense, and he always had a running game. Enough of Jameis. What I will say about Payton is something I learned long ago about the NFL. If Sean Payton starts that two-bit main T quarterback, that proves, once again, something I learned in the NFL, or covered in the NFL long ago. Never underestimate the egos of some people. And that's Sean Payton's ego. I can turn this quarterback nobody wants into the next Fran Tarkenton.
I'm kind of with you, Lee. I think it's a no-brainer in New Orleans. You got to go with Winston. He's got a lot more upside. You got Hill's change of pace. Give him his 10, 12 snaps. Steve, one more thing on Parcells that you were talking about, the 86 Giants.
Well, let me throw in this, Ira, real quick. Yes, Hill is the quarterback nobody wanted, but also Jameis Winston is the quarterback nobody wanted in 2020, and that nobody wanted as their starter in 2021 either.
Well, we know why they didn't want him, and I don't think it was football skills. It was his off-field baggage.
Well, the interceptions were part of it, Lee. They were part of it because Nobody was close to him in interceptions, Lee. I mean, there's 31 other teams. Nobody was close. Steve, one quick thing on 80s. Not only did he stick with Phil Sims, Steve, not only did he stick with him when he threw, what was it, the same number of interceptions as touchdowns during the regular season, but then Sims went out and had one of the great Super Bowl performances we've ever seen. Right up there, I think it was 22 out of 25 that day against the Broncos. So not only did he stick with Sims when he went over that supposed threshold scene of 15 picks, but he ended up hoisting a Vince Lombardi trophy with the guy.
Ira, got to ask you this because we got the game coming up on Saturday. Anything you think that Arians might do to shake up the roster? Do you think there's any chance that there could be a surprise move, a surprise cut, a surprise elevation to the to the depth chart? I mean, again, they're coming out with the starters. Could there be a change here? There's been speculation, even though Arians has said nothing to even hint that he's annoyed with the guy. There's been speculation, NFL.com, that O.J. Howard could be a guy that gets cut if he doesn't perform. We've talked about that before, but Ira, you think there could be any surprises on Saturday?
Well, I'll say this. Suppose Kappa doesn't look very good, and suppose it becomes clear that he's not 100% physically, and the offensive line coaches are in agreement on that, and they talk to Leftwich, and they talk to Arians, and they talk to Light. There's a possibility Stinney could get the start week one. A lot of eyes are going to be on Kappa. I'm not sure he's 100% recovered. To me, that's the question. It's not like he played bad for the 2020 Bucks. He did not. Theoretically, he should not lose his job to an Aaron Stinney, who I don't believe has ever started a regular season game in his career. Lee?
No, I don't think so. You're right.
But there's a suggestion he's not 100%, Lee. So let's look at that right guard situation. Stuck up, and now with the COVID, but, he's got the guaranteed contract. He's not going anywhere, Lee. He'll be back for Dallas. A running back situation, I don't think it's that big a deal, Lee, because they're basically going to split carries. So what are we looking at? O.J. Howard. Lee, maybe I'm wrong about this, but given the relationship between Arians and Light, I mean, it's as tight as can be. And I think Arians would have to give a little bit of a bow to Jason Light. We'll keep Howard. We'll keep Howard and see how he's doing. I just think the Light Arians friendship would be a factor, Lee, in that decision. I think so.
Well, I think, personally, I think O.J. Howard's on the roster. It's called guaranteed money. But you can't just dump him because he's going to go up against the cap as it is. You're going to pay him $6 million whether you like it or not. He's guaranteed. He's on the roster. He was on the roster at the calendar year. So all that's guaranteed. And so you might as well keep him. If he's not 100%, put him on IR and maybe you could use him in the latter part of the year. So I don't even think O.J. Howard's a question mark whatsoever. Now, should he be traded? Or that's a whole different animal. I don't think he can be traded. I don't think he's tradable. He's going to pick up that $6 million contract for a guy that probably isn't 100%. Coming back from a major injury. I just don't see that whatsoever. The Kappa issue, if Kappa's not 100%, he shouldn't start. Stinney did such a good job in the playoffs, and it wasn't like he's playing slop team. Utmost goal for the Bucks is keeping Brady upright. If Kappa is 100%, he shouldn't be on the field. I like Kappa. I'm a Kappa fan.
Ira, I will always remember this podcast because you dropped a Mike Glennon bomb on Kyle Trask. Unbelievable. You dropped the G word on Kyle Trask when not even a month ago we were talking about Brad Johnson as a comparison for Kyle Trask, but the sage has spoken. He drops this on him. Unbelievable. And Bill Parcells, for him to be throwing that out, Ira, and that to me, what makes it the most interesting and funny at the same time is Bruce Arians just won the freaking Super Bowl. Based on his decision, and Parcells is saying, hey, this guy tanked it with Winston. What did he want him to do? Put in Blaine Gabbert?
And we're all curious to see how Winston does mostly because, you know, the Saints are an NFC South rival, so it has a direct effect on the Bucs season. Mm-hmm. He's going to be playing Tampa Bay twice. And we're going to, you know, we're going to see life without Drew Brees for Peyton. Now, he's filled in very nicely, Steve, for Brees at times during the regular season. You know, he's out 3 weeks, he's out 5 weeks, and he kept the train going. But it's different when you don't have Drew Brees in week one and you're not going to have him. It's different. It's a different vibe, it's a different challenge. And look, the Peyton-Brees combination, it's been incredible. Absolutely incredible since 2006. I don't think the Saints have very good weapons for Winston, especially with this Michael Thomas debacle. Lee, he's got Kamara. He's got Kamara. He didn't have a Kamara in Tampa. Let's be honest. But you need more than that. And so we shall see. Keep your mouth shut, Parcells. Go out there in your boat in Jupiter and have some fun and catch some fish. But don't be taking pot shots at Bruce Arians. You're better than that.
Ira, before we get the hell out of here, I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford. Shop there immediately. BillCurryFord.com. And we enjoy, of course, Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. I got a cool thing coming up with a tailgate from Big Storm that I've connected with Ira. It's going to be fun. We'll talk about that after it happens on opening day at the Lighthouse, a.k.a. Raymond James Stadium.
Big Storm Beer. That's your beer.
And Florida's Elite Restoration. Remember them at all times, 24/7. If you have any disaster in your home, Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, one of the more interesting things in this game coming up is Ryan Succop is out with COVID, and the rookie, Jose Borregales, gets his opportunity to kick and to show what he's worth. He was a top college kicker, honored that way last year, and somehow he came to the Bucs. And you, last podcast, Ira, talked about the short leash on Succop. Now, we know he's not going to lose his job, but goodness, if this guy goes out and kicks 4 out of 4 and makes his extra points, that will be a memory that will be burned into the head of the staff here. And I wouldn't be surprised if we have a highly paid kicker come next week on the practice squad.
You know, that's interesting. They have to decide what to do with this kid. He could be the kicker of the future. Succop's not 25 years old. This kid, Lee, he's done everything you could ask him. And I'm kind of glad that he's going to get a shot in the preseason. And for the kid's interest, you know, maybe becomes the number one kicker for another team. I mean, there's teams out there that, don't have, proven kickers. And they might be interested in this kid. Now, Buck fans don't want to hear that. I can't see him keeping two kickers on the 53-man roster. But this is a big night for this kid. I'm rooting for him.
I'm having the shivers right now, thinking about that kicker merry-go-round the Bucs used to have. Every year, a different kicker, and everyone stunk out loud. I'm just getting the shivers thinking about that Succop might not be on the roster this fall. I'm freaking out.
All right, Ira. Well, unfortunately, although we did talk about this, unfortunately, for him getting a chance to kick a field goal would mean Lovie Smith's defense would actually have to stop somebody and cause a fourth down, and nobody can count on that. Sage, say goodbye to your fans.
All right. We'll all be watching Saturday night. I'll say this. Final score doesn't matter. Final score doesn't matter. How the Bucs starters play matters. And it's really going to matter if they get off to a slow start during the regular season. I believe the 2021 season kicks off Saturday night in Houston. Big Storm Beer. That's your beer.